Praise the Lord. So stand. Let's go before Him in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are blessed. Lord, we're thankful this night. Lord, we just feel Your holy peace surrounding us, Lord, and we just appreciate You with all our hearts. Lord, we love You with everything that You've done for us, Lord. How can we ever repay You? Oh, Lord, we just appreciate You this night, oh God. We ask You to have Your way in this service. Everything that's said and done, be for done for Your glory and Your honor. We'll give You all the praise and glory that's due unto You. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Only Believe, page 170. Amen. Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, page 399, same book. Amen. My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache is but this troubled world. 598, same book. Deeper, deeper. Amen. Is that your desire? Deeper with him? Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus. Daily let me go. In his
church. That's why we're here, saints, to keep plugging away. Keep, amen. Like the brother said the other night in his message, there's a higher call. Amen. And we're here to reach that. Amen. That's the only reason I'm here. I'm not here to please my fans, my friends and my family. I'm here to go all the way with him. Amen. Otherwise, I might as well just give up. Like our brother said this morning, why would you give up now? Oh, my goodness. Everything he's done for me. Keep striving. Press for the... Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Amos, would you take up the offerings for me? Amen. Praise the Lord. Deeper. Hallelujah.
Gracious Heavenly Father, amen. Lord, truly, we are so thankful to be here once more this evening, Lord. We thank you for the grace and the mercy in our lives that you've so richly bestowed upon us, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the desire in our hearts to draw closer to you this day, Lord. Lord, just ask that we be open to receive what you have for us this night, Lord. May it find the good ground in our hearts.
Amen.
Lord, once more we ask that you'll bless this offering. Let it be used for the building of thy kingdom. May you receive the glory and honor in all things. We ask it in your precious holy name, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Mercy truly rewrote my life. Amen. Oh, mercy rewrote my life. Request.
Gracious Lord, we're just grateful and thankful, Lord, for your love and mercy and grace unto us, Lord. Truly, Lord, if we look back at our lives and see you, my God, where you brought us from, we knew, Lord, it was your love and mercy, Lord. No other way, nothing else could have brought us, Lord, to where we are this evening, Lord. And we appreciate you, Lord. And as we come to thee now, we bring the needs of the people before you, Lord. And you know the need is up on the heart, Lord, when they raise their hand, Lord. And whether it was for a closer walk with you, Lord, for a healing in their body, Lord, or perhaps a material need, but we know, Father, that you're able and worthy, and thy God to supply every need. And we ask you to meet those needs tonight. And we pray, Father, for thy word as comes forth, that anoint this speaker, Lord, anoint his lips, Lord, and just take control of him, Lord, that he'd speak those things, Lord, and you'd have him to speak, Lord, and be your honor and your glory. And we ask these things now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Anybody got a song tonight? Special? Mom? I was thinking that one of you sisters sang Don't Give Up Now. Remember, is that, do you sing that or? Okay, anybody else got a song? Hey, number 10.
Thank you.
Again, as we ask our pastor to come. Amen. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercy has followed me. Amen.
Sing it again. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad our mercy has followed me. Aren't you glad? I'll be so thankful if you know for sure that you're His. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you again this evening and asking once again that you speak to us through your precious, precious word, Lord. And Father, we may think, well, it's just a little service and it's a little building and not very many people and have all kinds of reasonings and excuses and things. But Lord, you're here. And you're here to speak to your people through the Word of God. So I'm asking that again, that you would just open every one of our hearts, Lord, including mine. Father, just let us soak up the Word of God and just be as it's been expressed before, like a little sponge. That Lord Jesus, we're just able to soak it all in. And we pray now that the work from it, Lord, will do what it's supposed to do in our hearts. And may we be open to it and yielded to it. And Father, again, we just wait on you now to speak to us and open our hearts to it. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Thank you, Lord. My, so glad I'm yours, Lord. Amen. What would we do without him? Amen. Let us read our scripture again. Let's read one of them we read this morning in Matthew 15 chapter about the little woman. Just kind of refresh your mind back to that. And it's okay if I read it again, isn't it? I hope it is. Amen. Just wanted to refresh your mind back to that before we go on and a couple of little things. It's we find here, he says again, Matthew 15, chapter and 21st verse, he says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. May God bless reading his word again. You may be seated. I trust that has a little greater meaning to you now than what it used to have. But we can see that though the word cuts us, we want to talk about that a little bit again this evening. And it may hurt. And there's times it makes us feel just about that high, you know, like we're not worth much. You know, I'm sure this little woman here didn't feel like she was worth much by the time those words were spoke to her. But yet she was persistent that she had to get through because her daughter was in trouble. And I thought about that again and thought, my, how much more should we knock persistently? And if we know that our spiritual life is not right with God, and how persistent we should be, especially knowing that we're running out of time, the days are numbered, and there isn't much time left, and people are scrambling and searching and hunting and trying to figure out things of what's going to happen, trying to prepare for things, of the disasters that will happen and all these different types of things. But oh, how the little bride should be really making sure everything's all right with God. And the word that comes forth should do that in our lives. And to read this again in Perseverance, he said, now Perseverance, according to the Webster, I'll just read a couple of the verses there, paragraphs I should say, is a word that you're to be persistent. It means to be persistent in trying to make a goal, trying to put something over, trying to do something. You're perseverant when you are persistent. And all Christians must be persistent. That's just a way of life for a Christian, to be persistent. Regardless what it is, if God has promised you something, then there should be something about your persistent to receive what God promised you. So he said, all Christians must be persistent. They must be perseverant. And the only way that you're able to do this is first to have faith in what you're trying to do. So again, it has to be revealed to you. You have to have a revelation of what it is that God has promised you. You just can't go out presuming and hoping that you know what God wants. I mean, look where Moses would have been when it come to crossing over the Red Sea. If he was just trusting and hoping, oh, I hope this is right. You know, and what if he was still just hoping that maybe he's seen the water begin to part? Oh, I hope this is still gone, because if it ain't, this ain't going to work out. It ain't going to be good, you know. But he knew God promised to deliver them. To deliver them. And that's all he needed to know. Regardless of circumstances, regardless how. Now, I want you to think, saints, when God put all these things through the scripture and let these things happen to the men in the past, these people. And remember, all these things were written for our admonition. Isn't that what scripture says? So Just think of that now. We ought to try to always put ourselves really in that position. But sometimes there's no way you really can. But you try your best to really put yourself in the position that these people, what they went through. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, placed in that fiery furnace. Moses, when he did stand before that sea, the obstacle was there. And here come the army that was going to take him back into bondage, kill them, do whatever they could, whatever they wanted to do. And here they was coming. And here stood the Red Sea in front of them. Now, could you imagine, you may call it the adrenaline. Oh, maybe the nervous tensions. If you was placed in that reality, if God didn't reveal to you, he had to make the way. These people that went through all these things, David, it's just something like a little story, you know, we read David and standing before that great Goliath, the great giant, you know. And Brother Branham explained it so, to brought it down in such simplicity, how David was just a ruddy little fellow. He wasn't no great big man, muscular and all that. He was just a tiny little boy, you know. But he knew that giant was uncircumcised. And he was defying the armies of God. And he had no right to do that. Just a lad, just a boy. Now, could you imagine if there wasn't something special placed inside of him? What that would have been like? To stand before a man that size, holding a spear 14 feet long. And I can't remember how many inches they said his fingers was and so forth. But just the size of everything. And covered in armor. Helmet on. But one little spot open in his helmet. And just think of the obstacle. Like I said, we read these things and they're really not reality to us. They're just stories. It's just something we've read and it becomes common to us. But if we would take these things and read them, just like this little woman. Again, as I said this morning, can you even begin to imagine to have the Lord Jesus Christ basically call you a dog? Yeah. And then to have something enough on the inside, say, fine, I'll just take crumbs. I'll just eat the crumbs from the master's table. It's just such a small part I need. But I'll take anything you'll give me, Lord. And she kept knocking. She was persistent. And I think today even of how many people really need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they'll hear things concerning it. They'll read things the prophet said. And yet there's nothing there to stay persistent to get it. It's just, oh, well, someday God's going to give it to me. Where is the people? Like I say, now you may not remember. Some of you are too young to remember. But I remember when a people used to be persistent to get what God had for them. I mean, they were serious about it. Just as serious as people was in this Bible. They took it very serious. But is people that serious today? Is people that serious today to receive the promises that God has given to them? Is people persistent to be in a rapture, to be caught up in a moment, a twinkle of an eye? Are they persistent? Do they really love the appearing of the Lord? Love it? Or is there cares of life that keeps that choked back to where that love for the appearing of the Lord Jesus really isn't there? Or a mouth speaks it? Our mouths talk about, oh, I'd love for the Lord Jesus to appear. I can't wait for the rapture and this, that, and the other. And all the time there's doubt and fear and not sure in our hearts. Not even know where they stand. But the mouth speaks and can say many things. But where's reality? Where's reality of what has been given to us as a people? What is God looking for? He has predestinated, I'll call it, real people. real people. Not fakes. Not impersonators. Not make-believers. That's not part of his kingdom. But he predestinated and has sent here in this hour predestinated ones. That's impossible for them to fail. Now, with what I'm beginning to speak already, is it causing something on the inside? I don't know whether I can do it. I don't know if I can take it. I don't know if I was born for this. I don't know if I was predestinated to this. Listen what I want to read tonight, saints. Because by God's grace, my whole goal and aim and desire is by God's grace to help. Not say I get you through because I can't, but to help get you through. Because that's all I can be, is a help. As I serve God's word, I'm a helper. That's all I am. And that's what any servant of God is a helper. He's a servant. That's what a servant does, is help. He helps God. He chose men to do that. So I'm going to try to help you to see the picture better. If you're hungry for it, if you desire it, if you long for it, you see. He says here, he said all Christians must be persistent. All right, you read that. And he goes to talk about, we won't read about George Washington in the Delaware. But let me read this one too now in the question and answers we read. But in faith, there's no reason. You've got it from God. And you know it's there. I don't care how much it looks wrong. You still know it's right. It's thus saith the Lord. And there's nothing going to bother that. Nothing can bother that. Oh, if we could just have that kind of a understanding. This word God has given us. Do you doubt what I read to you in these things of Christ, Mystery of God Revealed, and Paul Prisoner, and these different messages, Future Home, different places, God of this evil age? Are you doubting that that's really what it says? Or do you know that's the truth? Do you know that's really the Word of God that was sent to you through a prophet of this age God gave us? And as I read it, I'm renewing your minds back to it. But what does it mean to you? Again, does it become quotes? Does it become messages of the past? What does it mean to you? Okay? You still know it's right that it's thus saith the Lord. And there's nothing going to bother that. Nothing can bother that. It's moving right straight on. Difficult means nothing. Just remember that. Just want to put that back in your mind. Difficult means nothing. It wades right on through it, for it's the Word. And the words that he said, and the words, the sword, the Word cuts. It just cuts. Why is it cut? Because the Word, when it comes, is completely contrary to flesh. Completely contrary to flesh. It goes against the carnal senses. It goes against the carnal reasoning and imagination, memory, affection, conscience. It goes against that. You see? All right? And the Word's the sword, and the Word cuts. The sword cuts itself free from everything else. All right? So we see there's just something about the Word's going to cut one way or the other. It either cuts the sin out of your life, or it cuts the thing that's coming against you, which Satan uses. It'll cut either way. It's a two-edged sword. It cuts in, coming out. There's no stop cutting. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. There has never been a sword as sharp as the Word of God. And when a sword cuts you in the natural, it hurts, doesn't it? If somebody come up to you with a sword and stab you with it, it's going to cause what? Pain. And I know a lot of people maybe disagree with me, but it's kind of like the other old saying. When they talk about people exercising, and it's really begins to hurt and the muscles become tense, and after you're done, you maybe really get sore. No pain, no gain. That's the way it is with this. If there's no pain, there is no gain. It's just the way it is. We think maybe we can just come through this and get into the place Christ wants us to be in without no pain, without no suffering. But you'll have no gain. You're going to have to suffer, friends. Because it's completely, entirely against flesh. But what's inside of you? What are you really made out of? Are you really a man? You know, back in school when we had bullies then, they act like this last days there's only bullies now. There was bullies way back then. But bullies come up to you and my, if you didn't stand up to them and hammer on them like they hammered on you, they called you a sissy. Sometimes I begin to wonder if we got a bunch of sissy Christians. I mean, sissies. They can't take nothing. They can't take no pressure. They can't take no hardship. They can't take something to put some stress on it. They can't take it. It's like a bunch of sissies. But God's got rugged men, rugged women. He said, what are you talking about? Just start reading that Bible. You'll find out how rugged they was. Oh, yeah. You'll find out, right? Even when you go back to the martyrs we mentioned the other day, they was rugged, friend. Of course, that was the spirit that was upon them for that age. All right? But the thing of it is, they would give their life for Jesus Christ. Could you imagine being a woman pregnant and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, men grab a hold of you and tie you down in the arena and slit your stomach open, pregnant with child, and pour corn in and turn the hogs loose. And while you were still breathing, eat the very entrails, the baby child, and everything out of your body before you died. Do you realize the people in this message would give up before that? They can't take trials and tests. Things that doesn't even harm their flesh body. And they can't take it. Such sissies. Is that what the ministry has raised? A bunch of sissies? Because we can't call sin, sin? Is that what we've done? It's almost like the prophet said when he's seen that little bride coming around and seen another Miss USA coming around. Is this all I've been able to produce? Sometimes I feel that way. I feel inside that we should be ready for rapture. We should be. There's no reason why we shouldn't be. But if I messed up, have I lacked? Have I not stood against sin great enough that there may only be five left in here? But they'd be genuine. Real. Real men. Real women in Christ. Solid. That's to say, men with hair on their chest that can stand against the wiles of the enemy. And after they stood, they stand some more. Where is them people at? But we got a bunch of sissies. People that can't take the word. In the church age book, page 354. And now he says to his own, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. To rebuke is to reprove. To reprove is to expose with view to correction. Chasten does not mean to punish. That's what a lot of ministers think it is. It's to punish them. Mentally, and to get them mentally punished. Embarrass them. But it means to discipline. because the subject's amendment is in mine. This is exactly what we find in Hebrews 12, 5, 11. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, if ye endure chastening, and don't give up, stay persistent. God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. You have no father. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. In other words, there's sorrow and pain. Remember, no pain, no gain. Now, no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Herein is now set forth the love of God. Right. You want to know if God loves you? Is there anybody that still sits here tonight and don't know for sure if God really loves you? I mean, really loves you. There's no other way to know than this right here. Here and now set forth the love of God. He desired in love a family of his own, a family of sons like himself. There, he said, there before him lies all mankind as one lump of clay. Out of that same lump he will now make vessels unto honor and unto dishonor. The choosing will be his own choosing. Then those chosen ones, born of his spirit, will be trained to be conformed to his image in their walk. They will be trained. He reproves with all long suffering. Friends, I've never been there, but you can read about it and you can have the old veterans tell you about it. When they send you to boot camp, you've signed up, you've joined the army, and you go through boot camp. And my, you go through some really hardships, some really hard times. But they're preparing you to make sure when the battle comes that you know exactly what to do. And you're physically fit to do what you have to do. So the likely chance of being killed will be a lot less. But you've got to follow the training. And God gives a training to his people to be conformed to his image, not man's image. Not to man's theories and ideas and creeds, but to his image. And he predestined him to do so. We'll be trained to conform, be conformed to the image, to his image in their walk. He reproves with all longsuffering and gentleness and mercy. It don't sound like too much mercy to me, Brother Steve, that he had on some of these people. But he did. He had mercy. When David messed up and took Uriah's wife. Yeah, what did he do? He took their first child. Yeah. And David tried and tried and cried to try to keep that child from dying. But God just turned his head. Yeah. He paid for what he done. But it built character in him. Yeah. it'd never happen again. You see? He chastens with nail-scarred hands. He said, sometimes this potter must take the vessel that he's working on and thoroughly break it down in order that he may rebuild it exactly as he desires it. You going to give up? When God broke me all down and tore my world out from underneath me, people thought I was giving up. Never, never had a thought to give up. The only thought I ever had would to rise again in the power of His Spirit and then have a preeminence in my life with a determination and persistence. But people lack that anymore. They don't have a persistence about them. Or they may even call persistence and then try to slop their way back through. But if it's true persistence, God will vindicate it so. You see? But remember, it is love. That is His love. No other way of His love there is. There's not. There can't be. That's one way you know He loves you. If He chastens you, corrects you, puts you back on track. But am I going to give up when He puts me on track? Am I going to begin to think, I must not be bride. I must not be election. I must not be that. I must not be this. Is that all we got? Is that all we got? Where is men and women that can get back up on their feet with persistence and run like they've never run before? Real men! Real women. And not sissies. Go on. In the masterpiece, July 5th, 1964. I'll try to hurry. I won't hold you too long tonight. Got enough here to last a long time, but we won't do it. Paragraph 183. Now, someone said to me, Brother Branham said, there's one thing I can't understand about you. Is that the way people begin to figure about me? There's one thing I can't understand about Brother Steve. He could go so much further and get into so many more churches. He just wouldn't be the way he is. Is that what you think? I know some of you do. But I'll take this side. I can't understand this about you. I said, what's that? And standing out there in the hall, I guess Sister Donch and them, or Douch and Donch, I ain't sure how it was pronounced. After I shook hands with Bill and standing there and all went around the corner, a whole bunch of people, a minister pressed his way in and caller turned around and he said, why is it that you're always bawling the people out? He said, then people believe you to be a servant of God and be gentle and sweet to them and everything. And said, every time I hear you get up, you're bawling women out and about having short hair, about wearing shorts, wearing makeup, and all this other stuff. And bawling the people out. And tell them how cold and formal and indifferent they are. Why do you do that? He said. I said, them people love you. How can you be a loving son of God and do a thing like that? I thought, Lord, let me answer this smart man. You just let me answer him somewhere that'll hang him with his own rope. I said, sir, did you ever read about the great producer of music called the great composer called Beethoven? He said, oh, sure, I've read of Beethoven. He said, oh, sure. I said, he probably tore up a wastebasket full of scrap paper, but he gave the world masterpieces. He never opened his mouth and said another word. And I said, when he was sitting in his study under the inspiration, he would write something down, and he'd go into his study and pray. If it wasn't right, he'd scrap it up and throw it in the wastebasket. But when he got through, in all inspiration, the world had a masterpiece. Oh, God, make another masterpiece. Out of all this that goes on, make another masterpiece. Oh, how the word cuts. But it produces masterpieces. Hallelujah. It takes all the husk and the stalk away, but it brings forth masterpieces. Masterpieces. Yeah. People conform to the image of his son. Completely. I pray God will have some masterpieces come out of this little place. May not be very many, but Lord, I trust there'll be some masterpieces come out of this place. It won't be my words. It'll be the words that I read. But his word is spirit in this life. I've just to try to find what the great composer wants. Yeah. Just try to find the channel that he wants me to say what he wants me to say. You see? I'll close here. This is improving his word. August 16, 1964, paragraph 118. He said, where Joshua led them there, Jordan gets real low. Talking about Joshua and Caleb. You can wade across it most anywhere around unless you hit a hole of water where it's pretty deep. You can. And with all the little fords and things that's right there, that's the little shallow places. That's what little fords are. At the banks where Jericho was at, he says, you can wade across it. It isn't much over your ankle deep. Just drive across in a jeep or drive right across it. Walk across it or anything. But he led them there at the time of April when the flooded country was flooded there almost a mile. The water was probably 30, 40 feet deep in there. And he said, the third day, we're going over. Look what the Word of God has told us many times. This is what we're going to do. This is what has to be. Oh, my. Did we start shaking in our shoes? I don't know if I can do this, Lord. I just don't know. My family isn't in the right condition to do this, Lord. I don't have the right job for this, Lord. I don't have the right wife for this, Lord. I don't have the right husband for this, Lord. Seriously? Is that the only excuse you got? Or is it more men and brethren? We're more unable to do this. Regardless of how difficult, there is no difficulty in faith. Faith removes all difficulties. Faith is revelation. It's what God reveals. You see? He says here, and he said, the third day we're going over. God said so. Call the people together and sanctify them. For the third day, you're passing over Jordan. See how God lets that thing happen? Wish I had time to go more into this, but not tonight. We'll quit here. See how God lets that thing happen? Look how many other things happen. But what's it do to me personally? What trials and tests come my way that swallows me up and just chokes me out to where I'm just basically worthless? Son of God? Ain't no son of God. A Christian? Ain't no Christian. You're just a human being trying to profess religion. But what are we really? He said, but sanctify them. He says, what they do, or he said, I'm sorry, let's back up. He said, the third day we're going over. God said, so call the people together and sanctify them for the third day. You're passing over Jordan. See how God lets that thing happen? Just to make people, he said, just to pull out his crowd. What they do? They would sanctify themselves and get ready. Regardless how deep the water was and how muddy it was and how swift the current was, they knew God would prove his word. Do we really know God will prove his word that he's going to have prisoners? That he's going to have people that have the mind of Christ. That they will be conformed to the exact image of his son. Do we know that? Do we know God has spoken and God has promised it? And we going to let anything stop it? Anything? Why don't you sisters come to the instruments, please? Regardless of how muddy it was or how swift the current was, they know God would prove his word. No matter what, how close you are to Jordan, no matter what your circumstances is, if you could only hold that promise of God in your heart, how? By faith. God will prove it, that it's so. In the midst of all unbelief, he still proves it to be so. Yes, he does it. And circumstances doesn't stop it. No. He still will do the same thing he did then. Hallelujah. Perfection? You mean perfect, Brother Steve? You mean Jesus Christ has provided a way to make it perfect? Make me perfect? And really, seriously, I should be striving for perfection in everything I do for him? To want everything perfect for him? I'm sorry, Brother Steve, I don't have that kind of get up and go about me. It looks pretty big to me. You know, Brother Steve, I've never been able to overcome this, and I just can't see me being that type of person to see everything done exactly right for God. Is that all we've got? Is that all? Or is there something burning on the inside? Lord, it'll be everything right for you that possibly can be done right. And if I come to a spot I can't get to that and reach a spot, I know you're going to help me because you're going to help me overcome. And I will get to that place. Hallelujah. I will reach the land, Lord. You promised it to me. You said as an overcomer, you said the overcomers would sit with you on your throne. I'm one of them, Lord. I know you predestinated me to this. It ain't going to be easy. The road might get rocky. There might be some rocks that hurt my feet. But as long as he walks beside me, I know everything's going to work out right. Hallelujah. What kind of determination we got? Oh, can we be like the little woman? Though the word may cut me and call me a dog, there's still something on the inside, oh God. Forgive me. Somehow I'm going to get what you want me to be, Lord. Somehow I'm going to get there. Lord Jesus, help me. Amen. Now we could be like a lot of people in this message today. I'm already there. And their life's nothing but filth and wickedness. Ungodly thoughts. Deceived. And don't know it. It's going to be so close. See the very elect if possible. But there's a higher ground, friends, to strive for before this rapture takes place. God help us to get there. God help me to get there. But I know this one thing. You promised me. You promised me. You revealed to me, Lord, by faith. I understand that I was in the thoughts of God before the world was ever formed. I know you sent me here for this purpose, that you could express your attributes through, that I'd be conformed to the image of your Son. I know you predestinated me to that. And nothing's going to get in the way. All Satan will try to throw everything he possibly can in front of you, try to trip you up and trap you. But by God's grace, friends, we're going to get there. Hallelujah. Stand with me, if you will, please. How's that little course go? Is it another road, another rock? Yeah, another hill. Amen. Is there verses to that? I don't know what is that the title of it? Another hill? Or maybe it's sometimes a mountain? Is that what it is? Let's see, what page would it be on? Anybody see it yet? I don't know. Well, that's just stressing it. Amen. Another road, Sometimes a mountain, another hole with rocks to hurt my feet. But when he walks along beside me, I can take it, there'll be no retreat. Another hill, sometimes a mountain, oh, think about it. Another road with rocks to hurt my feet. Come on up, Brother Timothy. But when he walks along beside me, oh, hallelujah, I can take it, there'll be.
Another hill, sometimes a mountain, another road with rocks to hurt my feet. But when he feel, amen, determination burning in our hearts, hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Precious Lord, we just want to thank you for this day, Lord, and for your precious word. And Lord, may each one of us, Lord, as we've said and listened intently, may that be the desire of our hearts, Lord, as it may be rough and the road may be long sometimes. But Lord, I often think as I sing that little chorus this morning, even though you knew exactly what you were going to go through, Lord, you knew before it ever happened. Lord, you didn't get in the middle of it and realize, oh, this is tough. But Lord, you knew. And you didn't shrink from your duty, Lord, but you walked right all the way through. And because of that, Lord, we stand here tonight with the joy in our hearts, Lord, to be able to feel the presence of you. Know that you're here with us, Lord, and to hear this word come and to feel it reignite something in our hearts, Lord, that causes a drive greater. We thank you for that, Lord. Help us to be those strong men and women, Lord, that can stand there, Lord. When we're wrong and the word shows us we're wrong, that we can be bold and stand and say, Lord, thank you for showing me, but Lord, lift me up that I may climb another rung. Lord, we thank you. Pray you'll bless each and every one, Lord, that couldn't be here today, Lord, that wanted to be. Strengthen them, encourage them. And Lord, bless those that were here, Lord, touch them. Lord, thank you for the safe travels you give each and every one, Lord, as it travels back and forth. And Lord, we thank you also for each and every one that's here. And Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, not that we were lifting him up, but we thank you, Lord, that we have a pastor, Lord, that's here every service, Lord, to watch over a flock. And Lord, to bring what you lay upon his heart, Lord, not that we would ever lift him up, Lord. But Lord, we thank you for your provided channel that you've provided for us, Lord. And Father, we ask you for strength for him, Lord. His load is heavy, Lord. It's never easy to be a pastor, Lord, and know maybe sometimes the things you're going to bring maybe hurt this or hurts there. But Lord, we must. Each one of us has a duty, Lord, and help us each one to carry our share. Whether I be laity, whether I be a deacon, whether I be a song member, Lord, whatever it is, an instrument player, Lord, let me do it with the best that's within me. Lord, to your glory and to your honor, we ask. And we ask it all, Lord, that you would receive the praise for it. And Lord, we just want to remember Brother Geisinger, one little special prayer this evening. Lord, knowing that he's got some physical problems, Lord, just give him peace, Lord, to be able to lay in his hospital bed that they need him to, Lord, to rest. Sometimes, Lord, we'll never understand what other people have gone through, Lord, that hinders them from maybe having to do a certain thing. But we just ask, Lord, that you would help him with this situation, that, Lord, he would have peace and comfort. Yes. and that you would be able to move there in his behalf. We appreciate it. We thank you for all that you've done for all of us, Lord. You've been so gracious and so blessed. And we just ask you to have your way. Come bring us back if you should tarry at the next appointed time. We'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor for it in the lovely, precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Let's sing that little chorus, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus."
"'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just in simple faith to trust Him. No, the saith the
Lord, to trust you more. Amen. May the Lord richly bless you. You're all dismissed. Amen.